Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Tzadi Aleph. We left off on daf Tzadi Amud Beis, about 10 lines before the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously in appreciation of our daf Yomi shir. We thank the sponsor very much for his donation, for his sponsorship of the shir. We are holding on the bottom of Tzadi Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to talk about the Isra of Chasima if one is Chosim in advance. We've been talking about Losachsam Shor B'disho. What if you muzzle the animal before you're doing any work, and then you have a pre-muzzled animal? Can you then do work with a pre-muzzled animal, or is it only a violation when you actually muzzle it as you're doing the work with it? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether doing chasima or klayim with your voice, meaning let's say you stop the animal from eating by yelling at it. So is that considered a violation of the lav de chasima? And in general, is akima svasayim maisa or not maisa? Is the sound of one's voice when one does an action with his voice, is that a mice or not? The Gemara is then going to have three explanations of how it could be that a person gets malchus and has to pay when he violates losachsom with someone else's animal, because he's not only violating the ritual iser of losachsom, he's also depriving someone else's animal of food that it's entitled to, and that's a dine mamonis issue. But generally speaking, we assume that a person cannot get both malchus and mamon. That's kam lebidrabim minei. How could it be? Three possible answers of how it could be that over here you could be chayev both malchus and mamon simultaneously. The Gemara is going to get into a brief discussion about making milchig or fleshig bread and what the problem with that is. It's also going to talk about causing animals to mate with enomino, with another min, which is a violation of the Isser of Klayim. How direct does that have to be in order to be a violation of the Isser of Klayim? The Mishnah, the top Mishnah on Beis, is going to have a machlokas whether a poel needs to be working with both his hands and his legs in order to be entitled to eat, or it's just good enough that he's doing work with some part of his body in order to be entitled to eat. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about what and when a poel can eat. What items is he allowed to eat from, and during which times is he allowed to eat? The Gemara is going to have four rayas whether someone working with one gefen is allowed to eat from another gefen other than the one that he is working with. So let's begin at Ba'aminei Rabbi Yonasan Me Rabbi Simai. First word in line is Min Hadisha on Daf Tzadiyam Beis. Ba'aminei Rabbi Yonasan Me Rabbi Simai. Chasma mi bachutz mahu. What if you muzzle the animal outside of where it's going to be doing its work, and then you bring it to do work afterwards? Says the Gemara, Shor B'disho Amar Rachman Avalav B'disho Hu. It doesn't say Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho, and this is not B'disho, this is not on the threshing floor. This is in advance, and therefore it should be okay. Maybe what the Torah is really telling me is, don't do dash with a muzzled animal. And that therefore this would be a violation. You can learn this from your father's house's teachings, because it says, Yain v'shecher al teisht, ato uvanecha itcha bivoachem. So it says you're not allowed to drink yayin v'shecher when you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Bivoachem u'da'asir hamishtu me'el shari. So it makes it sound like, yeah, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, when you're in there, don't drink. But if you drink before and then you go in already intoxicated, maybe that's mutter. No, but u'lahavdil bein ha'kodesh u'bein ha'chol amir achmada. The pasuk specifically says that the purpose of this iser is to be mavdil bein ha'kodesh u'bein ha'chol, that you have to treat the Beis HaMikdash different than you would treat a makom chol, and therefore you can't go in while you're shikr. So similarly over here, just like over there, when you come in, you can't have shikrus already. So over here as well, at the time of disha, you can't have the animal pre-muzzled. We have a braisa. If a person muzzles an animal, or he yokes two different species together, he puts a yoke on two different species together, so he's going to be potter. That alone is not the issue. You only get malchus if you then thresh with the muzzled animal, or you then are manhig the two animals that are klayim zebazel. Only that's the thing that you get malchus for. Now we move on to a new topic, still relating to losachsom, but specifically relating to the how much we consider kol to be a maisa, one's voice to be a maisa. Itmar chasma bekol v'inhiga bekol. Take these two cases, the isra of losachsom and the isra of being manhig klayim. Let's say you do it, but you do it by the sound of your voice. Every time the animal is about to eat, you shout, you scream, you scare it, so the animal doesn't eat anything. Or you get these two animals that are min v'sheino mino walking together by verbally getting their attention and getting them to go in a certain direction. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayv, Reish Lakish Amar Pater. Rabbi Yochanan says one is Chayv for that, and Reish Lakish says one is Pater. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayv Akimas Piv Havya Maisa. Reish Lakish Amar Pater Kala Lo Avimaisa. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Chayv because Akimas Piv, the movement of one's mouth, is considered a Maisa. Reish Lakish says it's not movement of the mouth, it's call, it's a voice. A voice is not a Maisa. So that is the fundamental Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Frekt Tosos and Dibra Maschil and Dibra Maschil Rabbi Yochanan. Tosos points out that in Masechus Shavuos and Daf Chaf Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili that any lav shein bo maisa ain lo kana lav, except for nishba meimar mekalalas chaver b'shem. That in those cases you get malchus even though there's no maisa. So lechora that's a stira to what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, because Rabbi Yochanan says over here that when you do akimas piv, that is a maisa, and yet over there it's saying nishba meimar mekalalas chaver. All of those are things that one does by speaking, that there are exceptions to the rule, that you get malchus on them even though they're not a maisa. Sounds like it's not a maisa to talk. So which is it? What does Rabbi Yochanan really hold? So Tosfos suggests that when Rabbi Yochanan says if you're kimas piv is considered a maisa, that's only by lo sachsom, because it's not just that you're speaking. When you speak, you cause the animal to go. So there is a maisa that's being done by your voice activation. It's like a voice activated system. Because of your voice, it's not just the end of it that you said something. Something real is now happening because of your voice, as opposed to a case where you makalal eschavero, for example. So you curse somebody. That's it. You're cursed, and that's it. That's the end of it. There's no maisa that's happening as a result of your voice. So in such a case, akimas piv is not considered maisa. Shitim Gvetas quotes from the Ravid a different answer, that when Rabbi Yochanan says in Maseches Tmura, he's not his own shita. He's saying the shita of his rabbi. Maseches Shavuos and Maseches Tmura. He's saying the shita of his rabbi. And Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that meimar and nishba mekalel are lav sheish b'maisa, that they're not an exception to the rule, they're lav sheish b'maisa, and that's why in fact you'd get malchus. It's a beautiful explanation of Zhalti in Mishnah Siyavitz and Chosh Mishpatzim Yudalin explains Tosfos' Shita very beautifully. He points out that Rabbi Yochanan's idea that Akimas Piv is considered a maisa is dafka by lo sachsom. This idea that Tosfos says that it's only because when you speak there's a maisa that's happening, well then that's a very poor way of phrasing it, that Akimas Piv have a Maisa. Meaning, what's really the Maisa? The reason that when you speak it's a Maisa, it's not because your mouth is moving. That's not what makes it the Maisa. What makes it a Maisa is that a Maisa is being done. So how could Tosa say that Akimas Piv is a Maisa only when something physical is then going to happen because of Akimas? Then it's not Akimas Piv that's the Maisa, it's the something physical that's happening that's the Maisa. So Zhalti explains that the fact that one does not get Malchus and Lav Shein Bo Maisa is for two separate reasons. First of all, it's a reflection of a less chamur lav. That if it's a lav shein bo maisa, then it's an iser kal. It's not chamur enough to get malchus. But second, there's a second din, there's a special din by malchus, that you only get malchus when you do a maisa. So that's what Zhalti explains, that we're addressing two separate issues. Akimas piv makes it that you did something, but it's still a less chamur lav, because there's no actual physical maisa that's happening in the world. It's enough to make it that you're considered active, so you get that second concern, that technicality, that you have to be doing something, but still, it's not a chamur enough iser. Ooh, but if something physical happens in the world, when you say something, if you scare the animal and you cause it to stop eating, so there's something that actually happens in the world, that shows you that it is a chamur dika iser. So each one is addressing a different element of why it is that a lav shein bo maisa you don't get malchus on. That's how Rav Zhalti explains the shita of Tosfos very beautifully. Now it happens to be the shita of the Rambam may be similar to Tosfos. The Rambam in the 13th parak of Hilchos Chiras paskens like Rabbi Yochanan, the chasma b'kol you get malchus, and Magen Mishnah says that it sounds from the Rambam that akimas svasayim is a maisa, and that's why you get malchus. But in Hilchos Sanhedrin parak Yud Ches Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes that kol lav shein bo maisa ein lokan olav. So you see, he clearly holds that those are considered lav sheyesh bo maisa, the lav shein bo maisa, that akimas v'sayim is not a maisa. So the Magen Mishnah quotes the yesh atirtzu that the Rambam holds exactly like Tosfos, that exactly like Tosfos says, that when your Akimas Piv makes a Maisa happen, then it is a Maisa. However, the Magen Mishnah himself has a revolutionary idea. He says that the Sheet of the Rambam is maybe entirely different. He suggests, let's say you have a lav that could sometimes be violated al yedei maisa, and sometimes could be violated without a maisa. So he says, that's considered a lav sheyesh bo maisa, even if when you violate the lav, you're only doing dibur. Even if when you choose to violate the lav, you're not actually doing a maisa. Because in that sense, dibur is going to be considered a maisa. It's only a lav that's efshar to violate only al yedei dibur, that's considered a lav sheyin bo maisa. For example, if you there's no way to do that with anything but dibur, and therefore that's considered lav shein bo maisa. But lo sachsam, to muzzle an animal, you could do that by physically muzzling it, or you could do that b'kol. So therefore, since it can be done with a maisa, the fact that it can be done with a maisa, even if you're doing it without a maisa, that's enough in order to be a violation. Says the Mishnah Siyavitz Rav Jolti again in that same piece, the Magen Mishnah could also be explained based on these two inyanim of the reason why lav shein b'maisa zein lo kana lav. He says the fact that it can be done al yedei maisa shows that it's chamor enough, that it's a lav chamor, that we don't say it's too kal to get malchus on. The fact that you are doing akimas piv, that gives you something active to do. That's enough that you are actively participating so that you can actually receive the malchus. And he says, and that's why the Rambam holds that if someone is maniyah chametz b'reshuso, he's ein aloka. That if someone leaves chametz in his reshus on Pesach, he doesn't get malchus on it because lav shein b'maisa. Wait, owning chametz on Pesach is something you can only do without a maisa? You can do that with a maisa also. If the Magen Mishnah is correct, that any time you can do it with a maisa, or you can do it without a maisa, then it's automatically called a lav shein yesh bo maisa. Why is Bali Rav Bayimatze lav shein bo maisa? Oh, but you see, Rav Jolti is correct, that it's not enough that you can do it with a maisa. It has to be that you can do it with a maisa, and you're doing akimas piv. You're doing something active. Not an overt maisa, but something active. Akimas piv is enough of a maisa to make it that you're being active. But by only chametz, if you just happen to have chametz, you're doing nothing. So doing nothing is not going to help the fact that sometimes you can gain ownership of chametz through a maisa, if in reality you're not gaining ownership of the chametz through a maisa. Says Gemara Vaitana, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish, Lo Shodim Rashi Lahamir L'Shem Hamer Mumar B'Sofek Asar Boim. If a person violates Temura, a person exchanges an animal of Kedusha and he tries to exchange it for another animal, he gets Malkus, he gets 40 lashes. So apparently that's considered Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, otherwise you wouldn't get Malkus for it. And all you do is you speak. So says Rabbi Yochanan, don't you see, Akimas Piv is a Maisa? Amalei Hamani Rabbi Yudhi, Reish Lakish says, no, you're working with the assumption that everybody agrees that there's no Malkus on the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. It's not true. There is always the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you do get Malkus on the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Damar Lav Shein Bo Maisa, look in the Lav. Rabbi Yehuda holds in the first parak of Maseches Makos that one does get Malkus on the Lav Shein Bo Maisa, because the Torah specifically says the Yisra of Nosar, Lo Sosir Mimenu Ad Boker, Va Nosar Mimenu Ad Boker, Be'ish Tisarev, that the Torah specifically says, don't leave over karbanos past their time until the next morning, and if you do, you have to burn them. Rabbi Yehuda darshins, yeah, if you do, you have to burn them. That's the Torah making that lav into a lav hanitak la'asei. It's giving an asei a way to fix the violation of the lav by burning it. So says Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why you don't get Malkus Anosar. But had it not been for the Torah making an assay after the Lav, you would have gotten Malkus for Nosar, even though Nosar doesn't involve any Maisa. Nosar means you just leave it there, and then time will come, and it will be a violation of Nosar. So says Rabbi Yehuda, there is Malkus on a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. It's only a Lav Anitik La'asei that does not get Malkus. So maybe the idea by Temura that you get Malkus for Temura, maybe it's not because Akimas Piv is a Maisa, maybe it's because you get Malkus on a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Frek the Gemara, Umi Matzis Mukamot Rabbi Yehuda, can you really say that it's following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda V'ha-katani reisha, ha-kol me-miru nechal ha-nashim, nechal ha-nashim, v'avinim ba-kol la-suyi mai, la-suyi yoresh, that it says that even yoresh is able to affect tamura, that if someone yarshins a karban, and he tries to make it a tamura, he's able to affect the tamura, u'delok Rabbi Yehuda, and that's against Rabbi Yehuda, dik Rabbi Yehuda, amri yoresh eno me'mer, yoresh eno samich. That's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that yoresh cannot do tamura, yoresh is not able to do smicha. So don't you see that mishnah and tamura cannot be attributed to Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, it can't be attributed to that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about a Yoresh, but it can be attributed to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about a Lavshein Mamaisa. Haitana, whoever the author of that mission is, Savila Kavase Bechada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that a Lavshein Mamaisa gets Malkus, and that's why he thinks for Tamura you get Malkus, even though it's only words, because he holds that a Lavshein Mamaisa you do get Malkus. And he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on another point, on the issue of whether Yoresh is able to do Tamura. He doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Yehuda on everything Rabbi Yehuda ever said, but he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda at least in terms of his view of a Lav Shein B'maisa. Period. Tan Rabbanan, Hachosim is a part of a Doshba. A person muzzles an animal that doesn't belong to him. It belongs to somebody else. He rented this animal for somebody else. Now his job is he's supposed to feed the animal while the animal is threshing. And he muzzles it. So not only is he violating the Isser of Lo Saksum Shor B'Disho, he's depriving the owner of this animal of the meal money that the animal deserves. The animal deserves to be fed, and that food costs money, and the owner is entitled to that. He's entitled to his animal getting fed, so he's depriving him of that money as well. Loke umishalim dalit kavan lepar v'gimel kavan lechamar. He gets malchus and he has to pay for the amount of food that the animal was entitled to eat. That's normal for an animal to eat. Frek the Gemara va ein loke umes ve ein loke mishalim. Whatever happened to kimle b'drab minei? I thought that if you do one action for which you're chayiv two separate punishments, you only get the more severe punishment. How could it be that you're getting Malkus and Mammon over here? I thought, ain't a loke mishalim. So the Gemara has three answers. Answer number one, Amar Abaye Hamani Rameir, read Amar loke mishalim. Maybe we're assuming like the sheet of Rameir, Rameir holds that you're taka loke mishalim. That you can get Malkus and have to pay. The Rishonim just point out that we find Rameir al Zalka Mishalim, that's only when the Chiv Malkus and the Chiv Tashlumin are Mishnei Shemos. They don't come from the same cause. The source of this is a sugi in the first parak of Malkus and of Dalit, that Edom are made about a person that is chayv l'chaveru masayim zuz, and then they turn out to be Edom zomim. Rameir says loko mishalim because he says explicitly shalo hashem hamaviyin lidei malchus maviyin lidei tashlumin. The malchus is because of the violation of losanov, saying false testimony. The tashlumin is because of kasher zamam. So they're two totally different yisurim. By chosim asapara v'dashba, the chiv malchus and the chiv tashlum both come because of the chasim asapara, because you muzzle the animal. So even Rameir would say that you can't get malchus and be Mishalim. So what's Abaye's answer over here? That we're assuming like Rameir Loko Mishalim. That's only when it's Shnei Shemos. So some of the Rishonim suggest that by Chosim as a part of a Dashba, it's also Shnei Shemos. The Chiv Malkus is on the Lav de Chasima. The Chiv Tashlumin is because Ve'esh Vesagzeh Asher Gazal. You're stealing from the owner by not allowing the animal to eat what it's entitled to eat. So those are two separate Isurim, and that's why Rameir would in fact hold that one is loka mishalim. So that's one approach. Says the Gemara's second possible answer. Where do we get this idea that loka? How could it be that loka umishalim? What happened to kamle b'draminei? Rava Amar esnon asra Torah vafilu ba'al imo. There is a halacha called esnon zona. Esnon zona means the payment one gives to a prostitute cannot be used for karbanos. It's considered completely disrespectful to use such money for karbanos. What about a person who used the services of a prostitute? That prostitute happened to have been his own mother. So in addition to the chiv mamon that he has to pay the prostitute, he also is chayv misa for sleeping with his own mother. Now, generally speaking, we would then say kim lebidrab minei. No, you chayv misa for sleeping with your mother, therefore you're not going to have to pay the mamon. What if he does? He pays the mamon anyway. How do we view that mamon that he pays his mother? Do we say, look, he was pater because he was chayv misa, so he's pater from the mamon, he doesn't know where the money, and therefore that money is stam a gift, it's a Mother's Day present, that's all it is, it's not to be viewed as actual esnan. Or do we say, no, even though he technically didn't have to pay the money because he was chayv misa, when he does pay the money, it still takes on the status of esnan. So Rava says that esnan asra Torah, it still does take on the status of esnan. Afilu ba'alimo. Now why? Why would it take on the status of esnan? it must be that it takes on the status of Esnan, because even though he's Pater B'dinei Adam, Beis Din can't force him to pay the money when he was Ba'al Imo, but Midine Shemayim, to be Latzei Sidei Shemayim, he certainly does have to pay the Esnan. So since he has to pay that Esnan anyway, Latzei Sidei Shemayim, so it's considered that there is some sort of Chiyuv over there. So maybe over here as well, the fact that the guy was Chosim the Para, that he muzzled the animal, so he's Chayiv Malkus, and Eino Chinami, Beis Din cannot force him to pay for the food that he deprived the animal of. But is he really chayev in Medina Shemayim? Yes, absolutely. He's still chayev Medina Shemayim in that money. And that's all we're saying, that he's loka u'mishalim. Mishalim over here means only Medina Shemayim. That's how. That's at least how Rashi explains Rava, that this is about chiyuv latzei sidei Shemayim. The Yamshel Shlomo points out in the sixth parak of Baba Kama that any time we have a chiyuv latzei sidei Shemayim, like a grumma benizikin, where you're chayev latzei sidei Shemayim, if you damage in an indirect way, so you're not chayev of midine Beis Din, but let's say Sidei Shemayim, you have to pay. The halacha is im tafas motziyim miyado. If the guy grabs it, he grabs the payment without you offering it, Beis Din makes the guy pay it back. When Rashi says by Kimle B'Dramine Chayv Lo Sidei Shemayim, Rashi writes im tafas ein motziyim miyado, that you don't have to, we don't get it, take it back from him. He says that's dafka by Kimle B'Dramine. Why? What's the difference between the Kimle, the fact that I'm pater from paying the money because of Kimle B'Dramine, but I still have a chiv to pay Lo Sidei Shemayim, versus I'm pater for paying because of Grama B'Nizikin, but I still have a chiv Lo Sidei Shemayim? Why should one be different than the other? So the Yamshel Shlomo explains very nicely. Kimle B'Dramine is a chiyuv that you are absolutely chayiv in the money as well. It's just that Beis Din doesn't have the capacity. Beis Din doesn't have the authority to make you pay it. But klapei ha'emes, you really are chayiv to pay that money. It's just Beis Din is only authorized to give you one punishment, so they have to give you the more severe of the two punishments. But if a person does an avera, does damage, begrama, there is no chiyuv at all. He didn't do a maisa hezek. He was only grama, so there is no chiyuv at all. And therefore, if the other party is toface that mamon, then even though the right thing to do, latzei sidei shemayim, the right thing to do is to pay the money. But if the other party is toface the mamon, he's not toface any money that he's actually owed. By Kimle B'Dramine, if he's tovis the mamon, he's being tovis mamon that he's actually owed. That's the chiddush of the Yamshel Shlomo. Rav Papa Amar Mishas Meshicha Chayevla B'Mizonosel Milka Lalaki Ad Shas Chasima. Rav Papa says a third approach. Why is it that you're chayev to pay the money and you get malchus? Because they don't come simultaneously. The chiyev of the mizonos, the chiyev to pay for the food, comes the second you take control of the animal. The malchus is only once you actually muzzle the animal. Kimle B'Dramine only works when both chiyuvim come simultaneously. Period. Amar Rav Papa, new comment. Hani milibo minay dibei Rav Papa Bar Abba upashlu liyisura. There were two things that dibei Rav Papa Bar Abba asked me, and I told them an isur on both. I was machmir on both issues. Chad kehilchasa v'chad lo kehilchasa. One of them is meikar adin, and the other one I was machmir, even though meikar adin, probably it's mutter. Bar minay, the first thing they asked me is, ma'u lola shasisa b'chalav. Are you allowed to knead a dough with milk? Meaning, make a milchig bread. Upashlu liyisura kehilchasa. And I paskin the iser, and that's the halacha that one is not allowed to make a milchig bread. Ditanya, the Brisa tells us, ain lash nesisa b'chalav v'mlash kalapas kula surim nehargal aveira. You're not allowed to knead a dough with milk, and if you do, the entire pas becomes aser because of hargal aveira. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us there are a couple of exceptions to this rule. If you make very small portions where there's no chance you're going to forget because you're going to eat it right away, so you're not going to likely forget between the time that you make the dough and the time that you eat it, then you're allowed to make a milchig dough. And the other example the Gemara says is if you make it's machlokes in the Gemara what ke'en tura is. It's one exception. The exception is if you make it ke'en tura. But the other explanation of what ke'en tura means is if you make it in an unusual shape, that if it has a clear milchig shape to it, so it's recognizable just by looking at it that that's a milchig bread, then you're allowed to do it. Both of these heterim are used by the were used, I assume they still are, by the OU when it comes Mamshin the Thomas's English muffins. Thomas's English muffins are always milchig, because it's bread. How can you have a milchig bread? So he said, well, they're made in very small portions. So that was one. Although one could argue, wait, those things last a long time. So that's hard to say that you're not going to have time to forget. The other had to those that it's a muffin. It's not a loaf of bread. And as a breakfast muffin, it's understood that that's different. It's an unusual shape. It's a different shape. And therefore, and all breakfast muffins are always milchigs. But then a lot of the Heimish companies, Heimish Ashkachas, didn't like those heterim. So they started producing English muffins that are pariv. So now you have to question whether that heter still works. Is that a tzura that's unique to a milchig bread when other companies make, I don't know if they've been able to duplicate Thomas's English muffins, but still it's a tzura that no longer is uniquely milchig. I asked Rav Shachter about it, he said, no, the real heter is that it's really batel b'shishim. There isn't that much milk in it. So these are additional snifim lahakel. There used to be kashrus organizations that would rely on the word dairy on the package. That's like a heker. It's like making an unusual shape. And then there was some major Rosh Yeshiva whose wife served him like a salami sandwich on that bread, and they said, okay, they're not going to rely on that heter anymore. So it's all about the right person being nichshal in order for the heter to go away. So kayotzebo ain toshna satana ba'alya. Similarly, you're not supposed to rub the oven with fat from the fatty tail of an animal, meaning fleshig vim tosh. And if you do, kalapaskula asurachi asakastanur, meaning you're not allowed to make fleshig bread either, and the whole bread is going to be yasser unless you kasher out the oven in order to remove the flesh from the oven. V'idach bomi. So that was the one thing that was mikra din. That was la halacha. V'idach bomi. No, the other thing they asked of me says, "Ma'al lahachnas min v'sheinu mina l'dir." Can you take two different types of animals that are not allowed to mate with each other and put them in the pen together where they're going to have no choice, but where it's very likely that they're going to mate? So you're not physically taking one animal on the other, but you're putting them in a situation where it's likely going to happen. Upashiluli isura. He said, I paskin that liisr also, even though mikra din, it's not really asr. Damar Shmuel, b'manaf mashir kederach ha-manaf. Shmuel points out that when it comes to edus, for averos of arayos, you don't have to see the actual kemachol b'shfaferis, the actual penetration of the male aver into the female. You just have to see what looks like kederach ha-manaf, what looks like they're having bia. Ubiklayim, and when it comes to the isr of klayim, ad sheyachnis, kimachal b'shvaferes. One is only in violation of mating two animals when he actually sees and manipulates the animals in such a way where he brings one into the other. Wait, if the pasuk only would have said b'mtchal asarbia without the word klayim, I would have said that a person should not grab a behema at the time, hold the behema steady at the time that a male is mounting it. Meaning, even if it's not klayim, even if it's just min b'mino, that there's stam and iser to hold the behema still while a male is mounting it. Tamalomar klayim. That's why the Torah specifically has to say klayim. That no, this is an iser of klayim. Lav mechal de klayim achiza namilo. Doesn't that imply that by klayim you're not even allowed to forget about actually manually bringing the male inside the female? Doesn't it sound like with klayim you're not allowed to even hold it steady so that the male will be able to mount it? So you see that even putting it in the same pen might be an iser maker adin. Says no, maya chiza hachnasa. When we say hold it steady, we don't really mean hold it steady. We mean to actually manually cause the mating to happen. Well, then why do we call it holding it steady? Lishna ma'alya. We try not to speak in such crass terms, you know, if we have to, because there's no other way of understanding it. So then we'll express what we really mean. But it was just a way of speaking in a more refined language. Amr of Yudah, that's something that we're very sensitive to. That's the sugya, the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim, about how the Mishnayos go out of their way to, instead of saying the word Laila, they'll use the word Or. We always try to speak instead of saying Tameh, we say Enen Torah, we always try to speak in a more refined way. Amar Rav Yehuda, min bimino mutal achnas kamachal b'shvaferes. If it's min bimino, if it's not klayim, you're allowed to actually manually cause the animals to mate with each other. V'afilu mishum pritzus aleka, and it's not even considered a violation of pritzus to do this. My taima, why isn't this a violation of pritzus? ba'avidite torid, because this is the farmer's job, so he's not going to be having any hirhurim or any machshavos. He's too busy with his work to be thinking of anything like that while he's doing his work. Now that svara ba'avidite torid is used by poskim in very different examples, in much more human examples, when we talk about a doctor dealing with a female patient. Why is a doctor allowed to be dealing with a female patient? He's touching her and seeing her in a way that certainly males are not allowed to see females and touch females. So why is he ba'vidite tarit? That's part of the heter, is that it's an assumption that it's that in his work he's not going to have any sort of hirhurim. It's a question Shlomo Zalman discusses: when a girls' school goes on a trip and they're on a bus, can they sing songs on the bus? The bus driver is there. Maybe you have a heter ba'vidite tarit. He's busy driving the bus, so let them sing songs. It's not going to be a violation of anything. So Shlomo Zalman wasn't so thrilled about that, because it's not like a constant avoda, meaning there are times where he's able to focus on other things, where he's able to stop, and he's able. So he didn't think that was a great idea. But if the bus driver is a guy, then most of the poskim say then it's not a problem anyway, because the whole issur is an issur of lifnei iver. A guy has no issur to be shomea kol isha. So then the poskim are makel in that situation. How did it say without the word klayim? I would have said that you shouldn't hold the animal still while a male is mounting it. That's why it says klayim. Klayim udasar min b'mino shari. That only klayim is asar, but if you're doing it with two like kinds, that would be mutter. Min b'mino nami achiza in hachnas alo. Min b'mino also sounds like you're only allowed to hold it still, but you're not allowed to actually be machnis. So it sounds like by min b'mino, you're not allowed to actually manually mate them with each other, that we are worried about the pritzos. Says Gemara, no, my achiza, when we say min v'mino, you're allowed to be oches, you know what that means? Hachnasa. It means that you're allowed to actually manually manipulate it. V'amai kari le'achiza. Why do we call that achiza? Lishnamalia. Again, the same idea that we're speaking in a nice language. Amar Ravashi. Hamil sabami nedber av nechemio reish kalus amang la'achnes min umino v'she'en umino l'dir. Once Rav Papa had paskined that you're not even, not make a din, but he passed him the chumrah, that you're not even allowed to put a min and eno mino, two animals together, in the deer. What if you put min umino, and then you put a third wheel in there? You put a she'eno mino in there together with them. Do we assume that since its own min is there, that's the one that it's going to mate with? Or maybe no, maybe even so, we don't want to tempt the animal too much. And we pass him this l'isser, and that's the lokil chusa. And the reason we pass on this list is because of the pritzos of the avadim who are dealing with these animals. We're worried about what they're going to do and what they're with these animals. New Mishnah. Hayo was continuing to talk about workers and their rights to eat while they are working. Hayosa biyadav avalo beraglav. A person is working with his hands but not with his feet. Beraglav avalo biyadav, or with his feet, not with his hands. I feel a bit safe, or even if he's just carrying things on his shoulders and his hands are free, hareza ochel. He is allowed to eat. That's all considered work. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiyasa Biyadav U Biraglav. Then no, he needs to be working with his hands and his feet. If he's not working with both his hands and his feet, then it's not considered work, and therefore he would not be entitled to eat. My Taima, what's the reason that for the Tanakama that you're allowed to eat no matter what part of your body you're working with, no matter how small a part of the body is actually active in the work? Kitavo Bekerem Reacha. But call my David. It says you're going in Kerem Reacha. It sounds like however you happen to be in the Kerem Reacha, whatever you happen to be doing there, it doesn't matter whether all four of your extremity, you know, your both your legs and your arms are at work or not. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Shiyasa Biyadav Raglav. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He says no, you need both Yadayim Viraglayim to be active. My time is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Where does he get that idea that it's only called work when one's Yadayim and Raglayim are active? Kishor, because we derive it from shor. Mashor achiyasa biyadav uberaglav. What's the case in the Torah where a shor is allowed to eat as he's working? Lo saksum shor bedisho. That a shor is threshing. How does a shor thresh? When he's trampling on the grain with all fours, with his hind legs and his fore legs. So that's yadav uraglav. So af poel achiyasa biyadav uberaglav. So the poel where we you remember, we have those drushes. How do I know that a pavel is allowed to eat petalush? We only derive it from shor. So it has to meet the same criteria as shor, that he's got to be working biyadav uberaglav. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbiuda, that it needs to be active with both its yadayim and roglayim. What if you're threshing with chickens or geese that don't have yadayim and raglayim? All they've got, they have wings, but they can't do anything with the wings. All they've got is the raglayim. So what would you say in that case? But kol kol chabin and vayika, is it just that in order to be entitled to food, the animal needs to be working with all of its to its maximum capacity? In which case, you have that over here. Or maybe there's this technical requirement that it's only entitled to food when it's working with both yadayim and raglayim, and this animal is not working with yadayim and raglayim. Teku, Gemara leaves that one unresolved. Amrav Nachum Namra Baravua. Polim Achlo Hilchu Shesi Va'ariv Begas. Ochun Anavim Ve'in Shol Sinyayin. The Polim, until they walk up and down in both directions in the wine press, they're allowed to eat grapes, but they're not yet allowed to drink wine because they're not yet dealing with the wine. They're only dealing with grapes at that point in time. But Rashi points out, Darkon Nahatil Anavim Al Hagas. They will put grapes down by the wine press. V'dorchin Baragleim Al Hagas. They would trample on it with their feet. Until they went in both directions, it's not clear that they're dealing with wine at all. It could be that their entire work is only with grapes. So that's why at that point they're not yet permitted to drink wine. But Mishahil Khushasivari Vigas, the Gemara says, Ochna Navim Vishosim Yain. Once they're ready, Hilchushasivari, so now they're already working with wine as well, and therefore they're allowed to eat grapes and permitted to drink wine as well. New Mishnah. Haya osa betainim loyach banavim. If your work is with figs, you should not be eating grapes. Banavim loyach betainim, and vice versa. Avalmoneas asmash abigim makum yafos va'ochel. But you're allowed to hold yourself back from eating until you get to the really good stuff, and then while you're working with the best fruit, then you can eat those. All of that, the whole heter is only to eat while one is working. However, that's on a daraisa level. Aval mishum hashev aveda lebailim amru pol in ochlin bahalichasan meuman leuman ubchazirasan minagas ubchamark shiparekas. But since we're worried about the employer is not happy about this idea that the workers are going to be eating the entire time that they're working, it's not going to make for very productive work. So we decided midrabanan that we're going to allow them to eat when they're not working, so that they'll be more productive while they are working. So when they're going from one row to the other row in the vineyard and there's no active work being done, they're allowed to eat midrabanan at that time. When they're returning from the wine press and there's no active work being done, they're allowed to eat midrabanan at that point in time. By a chamar, shikishi porakas. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. What are we adding about the chamar when the chamar is allowed to eat? Ibailu. Now, we were very clear in our Mishnah that if you're dealing with Geffen, you're not allowed to eat b'te'enim. But what we were not clear about in our Mishnah is, what if you're working on one Geffen, are you allowed to eat from another Geffen? Do you only need to, is it that you're entitled to eat from whatever min you're working with over here, and this is the same min? Or does it have to be that you're only allowed to eat from that which you are working, and you are not working with this other geffen, you're working with the first geffen? Gemara has four rayas. Raya number one. If there were an isser to eat from something other than what you're working with, how could a shor ever eat b'mechuber? Remember, we started this whole sugya by trying to prove that even though the Torah only allows a human to eat b'mechuber and a shor to eat betalush, that a human can eat betalush and a shor can eat b'mechuber. But how do you ever have a shor that's working on mechuber? The shor may be pulling the wagon, and there's a guy on the back of the wagon pulling the produce and putting it into the wagon, but the shor is already past that part by the time you're pulling the produce off of the... So where do you ever have a shor that's working b'mechuber? So Amrav Shish Bred Ravidi Bisharchev. Let's say it's a long vine that extends out. So the guy is pulling by the back of the wagon. He's picking things off of the vine, and one vine comes from that same one branch of that vine, comes further out all the way to the front where the shor is. The shor is allowed to then eat from the mechubar. So that's not a raya. Tashma, a second raya. Hayos v'teinim lo yochel ba'anavim. Mishnah said if you're dealing with figs, don't eat grapes. Hateinim v'teinim dumi v'teinim ba'anavim ochel. Sounds like if you're dealing with one type of fig, you are allowed to eat from another fig. But if you hold that you're dealing with one geffen, you're not allowed to eat with another geffen, so how do you have such a thing where you have tainim and ta'inim that you are allowed to eat? Now also maybe it's hanging over. The extra geffen, the extra ta'ina is hanging over, you're allowed to eat from that branch that's hanging over from the ta'ina that it's working with. Tashma, we'll do one more for today. The Mishnah said, hold yourself back until you get to the good spot, and then you're allowed to eat from the good fruits. If you say that you don't have to eat dafka from that which you're working with currently, why do you have to wait till you get there? Just go and grab and eat from there. That was because of bitul malacha that we don't allow that, because it's going to take you time to go over there. And we're not asking about bitul malacha. We're asking, let's say you have someone to run to the other grapevine to get you some grapes, so it's not going to be a bitul malacha. That's our real shaila. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to the fourth raya tomorrow. Oh, yeah.